Item number one is a zoning agreement amendment at Van Hall Way, subdivided from 2146 St. Mary's Road, under DASSF 589-2008, under file ZAA3 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will be heard at the same time. Namely, item two is a conditional use at Van Hall Way, west of 2146 St. Mary's Road, under file DCU 10805-2013D. Item three is a variance at Van Hall Way, west of 2146 St. Mary's Road, under file DAV 10412-2013D. Councillor Vandel.
Yes, would the applicant please step forward? I have two submissions, applicants, Azim Kabani and Eugene Heinrichs.
Al Degner, Pollock & Wright Land Surveyors. I'll be speaking for the applicants. They're here.
Okay. Okay. State your name and address for the record.
Al Degner, Pollock & Wright Land Surveyors, 117 Fort Street, speaking for the applicants. We've read the administrative reports and are in agreement with the reports.
All three of them?
Yes.
That's a good presentation. I like it.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Well, not until we hear the rest of the information, but I'm sure I'll have some once we're done.
Okay, so you'll have a chance to come back and answer some of the concerns, if any, that are brought forward.
Thank you.
Al Degner, okay. Also listed in support, you can come down if you'd like and make a presentation, or you can just register your support by signaling to us. Nizel Mawani, Rahim Mawani, and Nikki Pirani. Sorry if I messed up your names. But you're all in support? Thank you. Also is Vernon Buer. In support? Anyone else? Is there anyone else in support who hasn't filled out a sheet? Seeing none, we will now move to the opposition. We have quite a few names, so let's begin with Mike Scatliff. Mike and Ian Scatliff?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Ian Scatliff.
Ian?
I can just...
Mike, I know. Ian, nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I'm Mike Scatliff. We're related, and I'm going to offer some support to his comments.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm the owner in the property represented in the northmost diamond-shaped lot, the existing single-family house, pictured in the site layout proposal.
What's the address here?
49 Mardina. So I understand that from talking to Robert Kostick from the City Planning Department that the city is looking to intensify along major routes. And I did some reading and found the section in our city's plan, Winnipeg 2020, in the section titled Promote Vibrant Neighborhoods. Quote, the city shall promote vibrant neighborhoods by encouraging and accommodating within new and existing developments a variety of compatible mixed uses, including high-intensity residential development and similar uses on sites adjacent to major traffic transit corridors. So from this perspective, the rezoning and conditional use to construct a multifamily dwelling fits the city's intentions. So to be clear, I do not object to a multifamily dwelling in this lot. Rather, I object to the rezoning so that I may propose we apply conditions on its development and site layout proposal. I'm objecting so I may shape the layout proposal, not squash the whole rezoning. The City Winnipeg Charter Act, Section 247, states criteria for approving variance, that the variance may be approved if, quote, does not create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property and adjacent area, and is compatible with the area in which the property to be affected is situated. So the question is, to state simply, is the current site layout proposal injurious to its neighboring properties, specifically mine and my neighbors, Connie and Angelo? When I first bought the house, I realized it was zoned commercial, so I didn't consider the possibility of a multifamily dwelling and its impact on my backyard's privacy. Typically, commercial buildings, windows and doors face the street. The proposed site layout has 8 balconies times 4 stories facing my backyard directly. This is equivalent to 32 new neighbors, with about 24, the top 3 stories, being able to, of those neighbors, able to peer from a height directly down into my backyard. In Winnipeg's precious summer months, I will have to share my backyard with all those enjoying their balconies. My family's backyard privacy will now be impaired by their line of sight, music, food smells, lights, and conversations of those 32 new neighbors. I also believe this privacy issue will have significant impact on the resale value of my house. So referring back to the City of Winnipeg Charter Act, I believe the current site layout proposal is indeed injurious to its neighboring properties. In meeting with the developer, Nizar Mwani, and his partner, Eugene Einerts, we discussed options to the site plan that would reduce this effect, including moving balcony in Unit 1 to face the south, not the north. Combining Units 2 and 3 into a two-bedroom unit, reducing the number of balconies there, moving those two one-bedrooms to the south, replace an existing two-bedroom on that side. Moving Units 5 and 12 20 feet to the south so they are aligned with Units 1 and 4. And improving the buffer zone landscaping between our two properties on the north using 18 24-foot staggered, overlapping, mature evergreens to create year-round privacy. And this would replace the token shrubs at the fence line in the site layout proposal. It would also beef up the existing mature trees pictured because they're deciduous and they lose their leaves in the winter. And they're also old and may be harmed during the construction of the underground parking lot. So while these improvements are welcome, I believe there are other possible solutions. That's what Mike Scatlett's going to talk about. And I think the question is, should this injurious cost of the developer's current site layout proposal be solely my family's cost to bear, or should the cost be shared between the developer and I? And there's some site layout proposals I think are beneficial to both. So I'll let Mike talk here.
Thank you. I'm Mike Scatliff. I have a company that does urban planning, and I have a master's degree in landscape architecture. So my nephew asked me to help him express his understanding of what would be there and how maybe to mitigate. I think, as he said, we're all for our Winnipeg, and I think the right density would be a mixed density medium, let's say. Right now it's looking at close to 50 units per acre. And we think that if you got down lower, even 40 unit per acre zone, you could get into a more comfortable fit with the neighborhood, which we think is incumbent on the city to do based on the charter. I've done many developments myself, as many as anybody in this room, that I can tell you that that's pretty well a target. You never know the finances, but I know it is hard to come from 70 to 60, but in my estimate, that site never could handle 50. Especially imagine being buying where you think you're against commercial. In that case, a 7-Eleven facing the street would have been better than 30 balconies that are open with lights on. I don't care whether it's winter or summer, facing my backyard. And I think the developer could, with the help of the city and their consultants, look at just a different orientation. The setbacks aren't as required. You can imagine 16 balconies, whether they're 10, 20, 30, 40 feet away, isn't the difference. But a slight realignment and the effort put into that would be all my client would want to consider. So, to me, it's the issue is just the devil is in the detail. We'd like the committee to ask them to come back with a site plan that better fits, that allows the windows to face the other condo units. We have a couple of layouts here that are not likely going to be the solution, but it gave our firm a comfort level that there's a solution that doesn't woefully impact one or two residents that, quite frankly, you'd never sell that house if he has all those, if you're living in a fishbowl. As far as planting, I think that there should be buffer planting. Cottonwood and Manitou maple, there are short-lived trees. The cottonwood there may continue to grow, but as my nephew says, in the winter it's of no use. I know there's the intent to plant spruce trees. You can put in a 15, 18-foot spruce if you're willing to put in the money, but by the time that little pyramid at the top is going to screen the second, third, and fourth balcony, they're going to be in graves. So I don't consider that a solution. It's helpful. Buffers are important. But skewing the windows and balcony alignments with the single family is accomplishable according to our plans, and I think that's what I'd like the committee to see. So I'd love to see these guys make money on a great medium density development. Our argument is the density is just too high, and that's limiting their configuration to to create a better fit to the neighborhood. If you'd like me to leave plans just as evidence, I could show you what kind of scenarios we're talking about. But
maybe we'll go to questions at this point. Any questions?
No, I think I've got everything that's been said. I understand your position.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and also registered in opposition. Again, you can come down and make a presentation or just register your opposition. Marnie Strath.
On behalf of the Van Hall neighbors, I am registering in opposition. I would like to present 189 petitions objecting to the conditional variance. So I'm not going to speak. There is someone else who's going to speak, but I would like to.
Okay. And you're at 27 Marvan Cove?
That's right.
Thank you. Is there a spokesperson for the residents? Perhaps they could come down if there is one. Or if not, I can. Okay, we have. State your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name's Kyle Galbraith. I'm at 41 Mardina.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tony Kwong. I'm at 135 Portside Drive.
Welcome, both of you. Go ahead.
As Marnie stated, 182, I believe, was the total number of opposition letters. There's only 189 homes in Van Hall, so that represents more than 90%. The major opposing reasons are the four stories in height and the density of that multifamily. The impact that it would have on the neighborhood, like not only with overshadowing of Ian's, Connie's, and Angelo's, and well, potentially even my yard. I'm 41, I'm right beside them there. The noise, the traffic in the area also, with 52 units, one and a half cars each, we're looking at, 75 cars going through that intersection. It's already a fairly busy intersection as is. What we're looking to do, I think my understanding is when I bought that land, it was C2. So going into a multifamily zoning is not acceptable, creating the four stories and
yeah.
And, you know, by zoning at a C2 one story is more acceptable to me and my neighbors. Like the traffic would be a lot more minimalized rather than the 72 cars. Like a reasonable height, a two-story multifamily would be a little more reasonable, less dense. I don't want to squash the idea of multifamily. I know it's in the city's plans. Myself, in representing Van Hall, they are looking more for a C2. And I think there would be a need for it. There's 400 apartments going in right next door. There's a three-story development right across the street by the Tim Hortons there. And all we have for commercial is Tim Hortons. There's really nothing. Plus the plans of the city to put more residential down there. It's only going to increase the amount of need for that. In their current plan, as it is, 32 of those balconies facing our backyard. As Ian was saying, either repositioning that so the balconies aren't affecting the properties, like, it's going to lower their property value, which in return is going to lower my property value and that of the whole Mardina, far will it go, right? The architectural guidelines in Van Hall, when I bought there, needed 50% stone facade on the front of your house. These plans are calling for very cheap materials for finishing. I believe it's all just wood. And to fit in with the community, which is more of an upper class, I think it should also have to follow those guidelines. Like, it's the entrance to our neighborhood. So, like, this is the first thing that people see when they're coming into our neighborhood. Now, you see some cheap wood building. You know, it affects our neighborhood completely. Also, in the zoning, there's not enough parking. That's a major concern to me because I'm on Mardina. Because right now, as there is, there's way these lots are formed in residential. There's really no parking on the street as it is. So you got a couple neighbors putting a couple streets on there. Now I got 52 more neighbors, 75 more cars. Where are their visitors going to park? I think there's 7 stalls in there. I don't think that's adequate. I believe that in reducing the size would reduce a lot of these troubles. So reducing it down to a 2-story is going to, they should have more parking. They should be. Also, we're stating that. You want to add something?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle. Again, my name is Tony Kwong, and same as Kyle and Marnie, we are representing our Van Hall Estate Neighborhood Committee, and we're coming here to let you know that we are opposing all the variances. As Kyle indicated earlier, we have close to 100% of the votes opposing this construction of multifamily complex. And before I go into details, why I really object this idea, just to let you know, my mom sold her condominium in Vancouver and is currently looking for a condominium close to where I live as well, but not at this location, not this condominium. The condominium is in an inappropriate location because of the congestion, because of the traffic, because of the height. Everything's wrong. Okay, and same as residents currently living in Van Hall Estates, when we first bought the lot and decided to build a house and raise family in the neighborhood, we have the idea of that this is going to be a tranquil, low-density neighborhood. So to change the fact that this is going to be a multifamily, changing from C2 to a multifamily, this totally changed the mentality of, as I said, close to 100% of all the owners currently in Van Hall Estates. Now, in terms of affecting current owners in the neighborhood, I don't think it's just affecting the people adjacent to the property. Even me, I'm way away. I'm like a couple blocks away from where the new condominium will be built. But honestly, 3 years ago when I decided to choose a Van Hall, I had a choice to build my home in a Cinnabon Landing or in Van Hall. Both of them very similar in the sense that they both neighborhood promised tranquility, quietness, and low density. The reason I chose Van Hall 3 years ago was because it's close. It's very close to where I work. I work in downtown. I work for the government of Manitoba. So I don't want to travel that far away. So proximity-wise, I chose Van Hall over Cinnabon Landing. If the city allowed the rezoning from C2 to MF, I think this is total betrayal of the people currently living in Van Hall Estate. And I'm not only talking about concern of these particular areas. I have a co-worker currently living in South Point, and I believe that there's currently a similar variance in application as well, moving school a little bit further, a couple blocks, and then build a condominium. So this isn't just a Van Hall Estate issue. This is a citywide issue. because they are forming a committee. They're asking me for opinion and asking me for advice to form a committee to fight that. So I just want the people in front of me to be aware of that. It's not only a Van Hoy issue, and South Point people are also very upset of what has been going on as well. So I think we have to deal with this in a sensitive manner to all residents, because I would imagine that, you know, hope not, but I imagine that if this thing goes the way against people's will, and I'm saying against almost all of people's will in the neighborhood, it's not unreasonable to predict that there will be political fallout and media attention as a result of, you know, not dealing this according to people's wishes. So I'm not going to go and repeat the things that the wonderful people have mentioned before, and that would be all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tony. You ready for questions? Any questions?
No, I got the gist of what
you said. Oh, Councillor Mays has a question.
I understand. I can understand your objection on the height. I mean, I understand the argument. I'm having trouble with the argument that this is going to create traffic problems because, I mean, even you're at number 41. I mean, they're not coming on your street, right? I mean, there's no logical reason anybody who lives in there would come onto your street. I understand the parking issue you raised, but it's a lighted intersection. It's a low-density neighborhood, you're saying. If it was C2, I mean, we have auto body repair in C2. You could have people coming in and out all day in C2. You could have the noise of that all day. So can you try and explain for me a little more what the issue is around the traffic?
Thank you, Kyle. I just want to answer your question first, and then I'll let Kyle take over on the second part. If we have an auto body shop or a Shoppers Drug Mart or so on and so forth, it's a different story, because we're not talking about the height, and we're not talking about continuous customer build. Take the Shoppers Drug Mart at Kenniston and McGilvery. There is a new store. And are you saying that, because my wife worked there, and when I look at the parking lot, most of the time there's 10 cars. But we are talking about at least, how many units are there, 70, something like that? That's a lot of cars. So if you could tell me there's a business, we guarantee at least 60 or 70 cars all the time. I would love that idea, and I would put money and start that business. Thank you.
Yeah. Well put. As for traffic, not necessarily on my street. Yes, I understand it's a lighted intersection, but putting 75 more cars in there, it's already congested to try to get out of there. It's the only way out of Van Hall. There's one way out, and that's it. Everybody in Van Hall has to go out in that direction. It's going to affect our commutes. Also, by putting, it's just the congestion of the cars even in that spot. It's too small of a spot to put 75 cars or 76 cars, 78 cars, I think, is what is needed, and they can't fit that. Where are these people going to put?
Another question? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to keep going down the list of opposition. Next is D. Merriman? It's Merriman. D. Merriman? In opposition? Thank you. Darcy Baker? Opposition? Nelson Camp? Opposition? Mike Knight? Opposition. Jim Kilmister. Thank you. Here for information. Is there anyone else in opposition who hasn't filled out a form? Here for information is Phil Sitkowski. For information.
Susan Engstrom. This one just came in.
Susan Engstrom in opposition. Susan? Okay. Thank you.
That's it?
No more people in opposition. Would the applicant, Sal Degner, please come down? Al, you've heard the concerns, suggestions?
With regards to the parking and the traffic, plan we submitted, which I believe is Exhibit 7, and together with the drawings that, that the planner provided, shows that Van Hull is a four-lane divided highway at that location. We're right on the corner, as was noted, there's nobody going to be going into the subdivision. There's also a right-of-way that pre-exists the land that goes right across the front of the condominium units that goes into the Shell station. That right-of-way has to be maintained. So we've actually got an in and out. With regards to parking, 46 of the units are underground. So as far as surface parking is concerned, 20 cars, 22 cars perhaps. But we've got 46 underground units. The building is not going to be constructed of wood. I believe the architectural details are all in the planner's report. It's a typical wood stucco, basically the same as the way the houses are built in the area. I don't know what else to say other than, you know, we met with the residents. We moved the balcony from Unit 1 to the front. We've jogged Unit 5 in to meet the 40-foot requirement that the planner put in. We went from 60 units down to 52 in order to maintain a 40-foot setback. That wasn't something that we didn't come in with 25 feet and then end up with the planner telling us to come back to 40 feet. We did that on our own. The zoning calls for 25 feet for any building that goes up there. So I think we've pretty much met everything that we typically would meet for. It's not a rezoning, it's a zoning agreement amendment. I believe all the uses we had here, if we didn't have the zoning agreement amendment, would be allowed. And I'll defer to the planner on that. But other than that, that's about all I can add. The planner has called for, in the building details, a dense screening of both deciduous, coniferous, and trees and shrubs. I believe that's in the building details. So I think a lot of what was said has been met. Other than that, I don't have anything to add at this time.
I understand a lot of what you're saying, Mr. Degner, and I realize there may be a bit of confusion here as to what exactly this application is, because it's not a rezoning. It's actually a zoning agreement amendment. But that being said, there still are some legitimate concerns raised here. You know, I don't think this particular housing is out of sync with what's going on in the general area. But trying to mitigate some of the impacts on the most adjacent residents, I think the Scatliffs were one, and I'm not sure. There's one other house that seems to even be maybe more affected than the Scatliffs. There was some talk of doing something with balconies, converting two of the one-bedroom units into a two-bedroom unit, which would eliminate one balcony. But more than that, what I'd like to know is, where you just have the single depth on the building, could you not put the balconies on the south side of the building?
The balcony in Unit 1, those four balconies can go on the other side, and we're happy to do that. The other balconies are, because of the way the units are facing each other, there's no room for a balcony there, really, if you take a look at how the plan is drawn. The plan was reduced from, the reason the plan was reduced, because we had to move over 40 feet, all the units at the end start falling off, the stacked units. So every time you move it over, four units disappear. So we started off with 60 units, it went down to 56 units, then it went down to 52 units, because it's the only way we could accommodate a 40-foot rear yard. We wanted to accommodate a 40-foot rear yard to allow for some of the issues that were raised, and to allow for some significant plantings there to screen as much of what was there as possible. The idea that all the units will be looking into the backyards when the screening grows up, I think is not correct, because the units obviously start at ground level and go up. The Unit 1, if we move the balconies over to the other side, there'll be no effect on the backyards then. The other units, very difficult to move the balconies.
What about the specific concept of, even on the fourth floor, taking units two and three and turning them into two-bedroom units, and then making that up somewhere on the other end where it doesn't have a direct impact, like you got units 9 and 10 are already two-bedroom units?
I suppose we could look at that, but I think what we end up with, because of the way the building restricts itself as it moves down into that triangle, and because we've got the right-of-way in the front, I'm not exactly sure how those building details would line up. It becomes a matter of cost at a certain point.
I think you could probably do something there with those, and I don't know exactly how to word it so that you have some flexibility, but we're going to try and do that, I think, if we decide we're going to move ahead here. There was talk of the evergreen trees. Do you have any objection to 24-foot evergreen trees?
It's really a matter of whether you can get them and whether they're going to live. That's the problem. I mean, we're willing to put in as large a trees as possible to get.
That's not my problem. That's your problem.
No, I understand that, but if they're not available, they're not available, is what I'm saying. I believe you can get them up to 15 feet, and we're happy to make that effort. It's something that we would want to do anyways. Just saves us watching them grow. But I don't know that you can get evergreens past a certain size that have any chance of survivability there. I believe, and I'll defer to Mr. Scatliff on this because he does more of this than I do, but I guess 12 or 15 feet is likely the maximum that we'll be able to go there and have a chance that the trees will survive. It's going to be just as disruptive replacing them and cutting them down as putting them in. We'd like to put them in once and have them grow.
Questions? Do you have a question?
Only one, which was so the parking is actually with the 52 units, the 78 stalls would be the requirement. Right? I mean, the variance is actually only down to 76. Am I reading that right?
Two stalls.
Okay.
The variance is for two stalls, yeah. And the other is to accommodate a setback
for parking. It's not for building. It's just to.
Okay, I think I got what I need here.
I have a question while you're pondering. Well, how is it that this is not a rezoning and only a zoning agreement amendment, conditional use and variance, I understand?
It's because the uses are permitted or conditional, like they carried through. So what was restricted in here before just carried through, and in the C2 zone, multifamily building is a conditional use. So that's why we have the associated conditional use application. It's for the
multifamily is a conditional in the C2 zone.
Yeah.
So correct. Rather than
we've got two of these recent histories. We've actually across the street, Tim Hortons is that apartment or condo complex that went up there in behind the Tim Hortons was on C2, I think, as conditional use. And then the Montcalm Hotel one we did. Was also just conditional use. It wasn't actually rezoned.
Okay. And the question of height, of course, is the same for commercial uses or residential.
In our bylaw, it defers to the residential multifamily medium category for any multifamily development. And the maximum height is 60 feet. So plus or minus six stories is about the maximum that you can get out of it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Swandell? Oh, is there anything more for Al Degner?
No, I don't think so. I have some thoughts here, and I don't know really how to get them out. Here's where I'd like to go, and maybe we'll just start by going into the zoning agreement amendment, which is the other issues will come in the variance and the...
Yeah.
Thank you. So on the zoning agreement amendment, which is basically an amendment to allow for the height greater than one story, for some reason this was in the original zoning agreement that predated any development out here, when this was all agriculture and behind there, this was restricted to one story. If it wouldn't have had that, this actually would have never come here. And there's no reason why it should have been one story. It's from back in the 80s. I have no idea how it ended up with that restriction. So what I'm going to do for the zoning agreement amendment, I'll move that that the reports of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried.
And I will move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in. But what I need to know from the planner is the issues on the trying to manage some of the building and where the balconies are, do we do that in the zoning agreement amendment or do we do that in the conditional use?
It's, you could do it in either, to be perfectly honest. You could add it as a condition of the conditional use because it would pertain directly to the multifamily building. In that instance, you could put it in the zoning agreement. It would be restrictive in both instances, so it wouldn't really make that much of a difference where you would put it. I think the difficulty might be in the explanation as to how you can describe it. Is the part that I would have some trouble with.
Well, I think I know how to describe it. I just want to make sure I'm doing it in the right place. I think probably the conditional use is a better place than the zoning agreement amendment, but. If we do it, okay, so let's say we're allowing the increase in height for zoning agreement amendment, can we restrict it only for residential so that if this does not get built and somebody wants to go and do something commercial there, that they can't go up to the commercial height?
Yes, we could amend the wording to that, say no commercial building constructed or located on the land shall exceed a height of one story and no multifamily shall exceed. You can probably just do a quick amendment like that.
Okay. So what I'm doing is I'm concurring in the administrative recommendation with the following amendment, that no multifamily or no residential use shall exceed four stories and that no commercial use shall exceed one story,
right,
which is the current restriction that's on it for commercial. Okay?
Okay.
But all the following supporting reasons are, it's pretty straightforward. This clause, for whatever reason, it was put on there prior to any residential development being done. It was never contemplated. I don't even think when people were building their houses in there, they would have had any idea that there would have been a one-story restriction on the commercial zoning that already existed there. So I'm not comfortable tinkering with that, given that this is not an unreasonable application in that regard. So. That's the reason for
so
that.
So we're all clear that the amendment is four stories for residential, but commercial stays at one.
Yeah.
Am I right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
Okay, and I'll move that the public hearing with respect to that application be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Now on.